We're on the stream, and we're glad you found us here. And Phil Vitale, too, the famous and noted restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Phil.
Hi, John.
Use one of my favorite phrases in one of your reviews today. Super premium cocktails. Or, no, super premium booze in the
super
cocktails.
Super premium booze in the cocktails,
which
yes.
is not just, that's not call liquor, folks. That's the good stuff.
That's the stuff you steal from somebody else. That's really expensive.
That's the stuff that when you go to an event, you hope they have, but they don't.
Oh, yeah, you never. This is the stuff someone said, by the way, there's this other rum that costs $1 million, and we just happen to have a little bit.
Are you a gin drinker by any chance?
Mostly gin cocktails.
I do gin. Too. And so, you know, you got the blue bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You got the green bottle.
Yep.
Beefeater is the white bottle. And then you've got different shades in between. I've always thought that the blue bottle was the premium, the Tanqueray and the green was really good,
mm-hmm.
and the Beefeater and the white was less expensive. But I read a review, they did a blind taste test, and they said Bombay the blue, Tanqueray the green, Beefeater the clear white, and then all the rest of them. And Beefeater won, and consistently is like the best gin for gin people out there.
I see.
And yet that's not the most expensive. I guess the moral of that story is most expensive doesn't always mean best.
Right. And in
like
gin,
with wine.
Yeah, in gin particularly, the botanicals that you taste can be such a wide range that depending on the cocktail you're making, one very expensive gin could be the worst thing you'd want to put in there.
Or one of the super popular floral gins is going to ruin it because it's sort of competing with what
it's
you want.
Fighting with what you want, exactly.
If you're just trying to have a martini, God bless these people that are making all of these locally distilled spirits. I love that whole scene, but that's not my cup of tea. That's not
your cup of gin.
Not my cup of gin.
Or your cup of tea that's holding gin and nobody can tell.
Well, we're talking with Phil Vitale about this one restaurant that he reviewed, hence the super premium booze and the cocktails, but it's ABA. How do you pronounce that?
ABA.
ABBA, as in the musical group?
No, well, they only do one B, I think, specifically not to have
because it's not ABBA.
Musical group. Right, it is the Hebrew word for father.
Ah.
ABBA. And it really should be spelled two B's, but if you did two B's and then put it up on the thing, everyone's going to be jumping in there singing Fernando, and you just don't want that. Depending on the concept, no. Some concepts, that's exactly what you want.
Actually, that would do well. If you said, and the waiters sing ABBA hits, you could probably sell some french fries there.
Exactly. And like every twice an hour, all the service stops, and all of a sudden the waiters just run into a center area and do a choreographed ABBA song.
I've been to places that kind of do stuff like that.
There was one right by here at the Fairmont, way, way, way back. It was called Printemps, French word for spring, and they had singing waiters. But they recruited people who were serious voice students, and so there was this near operatic quality of voices, and sometimes they would do an aria, and sometimes they would do show tune, and then songs over, clap, 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 back to waiting. And they just did this.
What do you make of that?
Actually, the way they did it was very good. And this is back when John Coletta, who was with the Gibson's Group, just came out with his own cookbook. This is when John Coletta was running the operation in the kitchen. So the food was at a level much higher than your average singing waitron concept would be.
You gave a nice review to ABBA, didn't you?
I love that place. The same chef has Ema, which is in River North, and that's the Hebrew word for mother. So we're following a theme here. Ema is the first one. It was a couple of years old, and it was very Middle Eastern. And so is ABBA, but maybe because it's got a more masculine name, there's more protein on the menu. There's more raw fish. There's more steak. There's more heavy stuff.
What did you like? So this is a Mediterranean-themed restaurant.
Right.
And so it's fish, it's tomatoes, cucumbers, olives, that kind of thing.
Right. I mean, he does a sashimi thing. It's kanpachi, which a lot of people do. But here he arranges it in a big circle with some greens, some tomatoes, some charred avocado, and the whole thing is around a little puddle of ají amarillo sauce. So there's a little kick to it. So it's sort of playing around with some ingredients and then just going nuts and say, well, this is a South American ingredient that I'm pairing with some Hawaiian fish with some Middle Eastern accompaniments.
Good stuff. Three stars from you.
Yeah, it's a very good place.
What's the location of this again?
They're at the northwest corner of Green and Fulton Market. in a big building. Same building that houses Lettuce Entertainment's other Beatrix restaurant, and they're up on the third floor,
Right.
And they have a third floor outdoor patio that is mobbed. I mean, just people arrive at 4:30 to grab a table or just grab some elbow room for themselves.
Why?
And they stay.
What's the attraction?
I don't know. It's super popular. The food's really good.
That's the hot spot. That's for sure.
Right, but it's surrounded by competition. And yet, this is right now the hottest place in town. I haven't seen anything this busy. And I'm serious. People crowded at 4:30 on a Sunday.
Eating hors d'oeuvres and drinking nice cocktails.
Nice cocktails and some fun wine. The wine list is very fun because they found wines from Morocco and they found wines from Lebanon and they find Israeli wines. So they have a lot of wines you've never heard of that are very drinkable, quite affordable, and the waiters and wine directors, of course, know all about them. So if you want to try something you've never tried before, this is a really good restaurant to do that in.
Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. That restaurant is called
ABBA.
ABBA, A-B-A, no relation to the singing group, more in relation to its sister restaurant, which is
EMA.
ABBA and EMA. Now, CT Food Bowl is wrapping up pretty quick here. It's an August-long venture that you're kind of responsible for in this
town. That's right. I'm taking all the credit and did hardly any of the work. So, yes, I am I'm ultimately responsible for all this.
CT Food Bowl, Chicago Tribune Food Bowl.
Right.
Meaning, what does that is?
Well, the Food Bowl was a series of unrelated events, just all celebrating food and issues about food. I moderated a panel on Monday with Rick Bayless and Matthias Merges and Jennifer Kim and Sarah Spoonberg.
You previewed that for us last week, and we said,
right.
What are you going to talk about? And you said, well, we'll see. So what was the thrust of that conversation?
We talked about, is there a food bubble? Are there too many restaurants here right now?
What did they say?
They said, yeah, probably, and that the market will figure it out.
Yeah, well, they're all operating restaurants in town.
Well, Rick has six or seven now, and Matthias has four or five. Sarah's got her one Monteverde out there on Washington, and Jennifer Kinn just opened Passerotto in Andersonville. So we had two real veterans of restauranting in Chicago and two people with just have independent restaurants.
You said that when we were previewing this, you said, well, you're going to moderate this. You expected that some of the conversation would be around the compensation. How do we pay people? How do we handle that? What did they say about all of that?
What they said is everybody agrees it would be a good thing, and everybody's waiting to see how much the public will support it, and that's ultimately what's going to happen. If I'm going to pay my back-of-the-house people, my line cooks, even my dishwashers, a living wage, something has to happen, and what has to happen is prices are going to have to go up. People complain about restaurant prices as it is. The fact is we have it so good in terms of what we pay for our food in this country. And
really?
Part of the reason is the workers, the people who harvest the food out in the fields, and the people who prepare the food in the kitchens, in the hot, sweaty kitchens, aren't paid a whole lot of money. And we are the beneficiary of that. And we're coming to a time we just simply can't hold the line on these prices that low.
Do you think the way to ensure then that everybody gets paid a living wage would be to eliminate tips, upcharge the food, and then they can control it? They know what they're going to get. You know what I mean?
To reduce sticker shock, I think a way to go would be to leave the food prices where you need to leave them, but have a 20% service fee or administrative fee or whatever you want to call it.
That's not optional.
Right. That's not optional.
But it's delineated from the cost of the food.
But it's delineated from the cost of the food, but it's there on the check or it's there on the bill and they let you know. You're not expected to tip, but we are doing this. And the reason we're doing this is that this amount can be distributed equitably among the people who work here.
If I go to a restaurant I've been to some European cities, but you're telling me that the restaurant bill in other parts of the world would be higher than it is in Chicago for comparable food?
I think it would be, certainly in the big food cities, certainly in Paris and London and things like that. In Paris, of course, the service charge is already it's already into the price.
Yeah.
So whenever I do something like that in Europe, I'm always pleasantly surprised because at the end of the day, the bill comes and it's everything I ordered, and that's it. There's no plus.
You know, we've had this conversation here though, and all of us are tortured about that because as Americans,
no.
If my dinner was 100 for Brenda and I would, and I go, all right, that's the tip is built in. I feel terrible not leaving something.
Right.
So then do I just leave a tiny little bit to...
Right. But, leave $5 and you're a hero.
But for 100 euros, €5, that's all I'm going to leave? What kind of a cheap son of a gun am I?
So you've prepaid. You're not a cheap son of a gun at all.
I can't get my head around that.
And yet we're fairly comfortable with these rideshare, with the Uber.
Oh, yeah,
Lyft.
I know.
So I think generationally, all the millennials and the people behind
they
them
have no
coming
problem.
Up, they have no problem. They're used to that.
They didn't grow up always tipping or always tipping the cab.
Right. They
we
love
do.
This idea. I see the price. I'm paying the price.
My wife always hands cash to our drivers.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, when I
and they don't even get it sometimes. They go, what's this? He goes, it's for you. You have to take this now. We can't get out until you take $2 from us.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I know you're being paid for my credit card. Here's $2. I can't get out of the cab. I can't get out of the Uber or Lyft until I give you $2.
All right. Well, good for her.
You think?
I mean, you know, you're making someone's day a little bit better, and it only costs you $2.
Hey, Phil, talk to so CT Food Bowl. Tell me about the weekend coming up.
The weekend coming up, we are going to have our night market. It's out on Lakefront Green at Theater on the Lake, which is what happens if you go east on Halstead and forget to stop. If your tires get wet, back up, you're there.
Well, Halstead's north-south. You mean go east on Fullerton?
East on Fullerton.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
yeah.
Fullerton.
Yeah.
So it's right there. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful venue. It's a great spot. Beautiful views.
Great place to watch the Air and Water show last week.
Was, yes. And it's running from 3 to 10 p.m., so it doesn't really get dark for most of it. And it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Admission is a suggested $5 donation.
What will I see when I go there?
You will see more than a dozen food and beverage stations charging what they charge, but little bits. They have Haisu is out there, Soul Taco is out there, Stan's Donuts is out there, among other things, offering a donut that was created specifically for the Food Bowl, which I won't give too much of it away, but it's black and white and red all over, so you can see where we're going with that, with that design.
Nice.
Kazuki Ramen is there, Byron's Hot Dogs are there, we have both Al's Beef and Bona Beef, so there's a cage match right there. There's live entertainment, you walk around, it's beautiful, you have
it's
a drink,
beautiful
have
view
bites.
Too. It juts right out into the lake too. It's
right.
A great location.
And the nice thing is we have all these places from pulling from the neighborhoods in Chicago. It's not just a best of River North kind of thing we're doing. We have lots of different restaurants and it's not expensive and it's a beautiful way to spend, especially a Friday or Saturday night, but it's going on Sunday as well. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 to 10 p.m. each day.
CTFoodBowl.com.
Mm-hmm.
CTFoodBowl.com for details on that event, which takes place this coming weekend. Phil Vitale writes about the restaurant scene, could you tell, for the Chicago Tribune. Read him in print. That's today, the version that we were talking about, right?
Indeed,
that you brought
yes.
in. And online at ChicagoTribune.com/dining.